All right, a lot to get to on the football front today. John Wildhack announcing Dino Babers is back for his seventh season and coming back for the 2022 season. The good news is Sterling Gilbert is out, so we'll break that down, plus some other staff changes. A full football episode after the Pittsburgh loss, and the season is fully in the rearview mirror. We've got lots to discuss on the offseason front. It's all coming up on the Locked On Syracuse podcast.
You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in. Thank you for making Locked On Syracuse your first listen every single weekday. Here with you guys Monday through Friday on the show. And today's episode is brought to you by NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. Head to netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA for special end-of-the-year financing on the number one financial system for growing businesses. Tim Leonard, Tyler Rocky, we're free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Also, you can check us out and watch each and every episode on YouTube. And Ty, the football season has come and gone amazingly. What a season it was.
Got us to basketball, right?
Like, yeah, I guess.
And I guess it kind of got
us to
basketball.
I don't know if basketball is doing much to get us to lacrosse, but that's a whole nother topic. We'll talk basketball this week. We'll get you guys ready for Indiana on the show tomorrow. But gosh, a topsy-turvy season that started with us thinking maybe Tommy DeVito and Taj Harris were going to lead the Orange. By about week five, they were not with the program. They win five games, but they had two bad three-game losing streaks in there. And John Wildhack says Dino Babers is coming back here for year seven, which I know you're really fired up about. I kind of totally expected this to happen. I think you did too. Like, there was never any doubt, but I'm not like devastated by the news or anything like that. And we can get into it, but I'll give you the floor here because I know this is bugging you.
So, I mean, obviously we all kind of expected Dino back. And the second he started playing assistant coach chess with some of the moves that we saw yesterday, you knew he was coming back. The second you start tinkering with the staff, you know your job's in hand and you're coming back for another season. The frustrating part is that it's disheartening because by coming out and saying that this decision to bring back Dino Babers has nothing to do with his buyout number just shows you don't care about
winning. Well, that's a flat-out lie, right?
It's a flat-out lie. So you're either lying or you don't care about winning. One of the two, okay? And that number has been rumored between the $5.5 to $10 million range, probably settles somewhere in the middle there at about $7.5 or so. But it's just an absolute disgrace that someone is being given a seventh opportunity, a seventh bite at this apple right here. Because through his first 6 years, he is 29-43, all right? And you know what? For the purpose of this exercise, and since the sample size is overwhelmingly sizable enough now, let's throw out the best year, let's throw out the worst year, because that's sometimes the best way to gauge someone's overall performance here. We do this with running backs, quarterbacks, whatever. Let's do it with the head coach. You throw out the 10-3 year, you throw out the 1-10 year. Your record then is still 18-30. You're 15-35 overall in the ACC. You've got one season better than 2-6 in the conference. That's laughable that you're being given a seventh chance at this thing.
Yeah, but again, it's a unique situation with Dino Babers because it's almost like he's on his second contract. And I think the way John Wildhack is viewing it is, what has he done in the last 3 years? And it's like he started from that point after the 10-win season. And to go out there, like I saw you were tweeting some stuff where it's comparing his numbers to Greg Robinson. I get it, but also, you can't compare this guy to Greg Robinson. Like,
listen,
there's
He's not Greg Robinson, but he's got more six conference loss seasons than Greg Robinson now at this point.
Yeah, but that was Big East with less games, right? I mean, it's kind of cherry picking there.
One less game. It's not even cherry picking because listen, both can be true. Both of these coaches can be bad. Greg Robinson, obviously a terrible coach. His ass was sent out the door, right? Dino should not be the head coach of this football team anymore. The amount of times that you saw in-game things come to a boil and just get completely, just blow up this team's momentum. Absolutely blow. There is zero excuse for being at a 5-4 crux and not getting to a bowl game without any significant injuries at the quarterback position. There's just no excuse for this to happen, to look woefully unprepared every single game after the bye week, every single game. It's embarrassing. And the fact that you're getting another opportunity is laughable. It shows no commitment to winning in the program. Look at some of these other coaches that are getting fired, all right? Clay Helton, 46-24 at USC. They're paying
$10 million
buyout.
We're going to compare him to USC? I mean, that's just, we can't do that.
But you have to show some commitment to winning. These are programs that have commitment to winning right here. And these are ones that you just got to show a shred of commitment to winning. And to bring a coach back for a seventh season with a 29-43 record, that to me, and one bowl appearance, is laughable. Let's look at some other coaches here. Ed Ogeron's out, 51-21, a national championship. They're going to pay him $17 million to not coach football.
Again, this just $17 million. I mean, maybe fine, if you want to compare it to others? ACC peers, but
how about this?
Not those schools.
Justin Fuente, 43-31. They're going to pay him $10 million to not coach football. $10 million. Jimmy Lake at Washington, 7-6. Didn't even really get a full season to coach. They're going to pay him $9.9 million.
Situation with his player. I mean,
but they're not. But here's the thing, that they're not firing him with cause. So,
well, yeah,
by saying that he had the situation with his player, that's not the reason they fired him. They're paying him $9.9 million to not coach. He's at Washington. $9.9 million to not coach. There's no commitment to winning at this program, and it's disgusting.
So I think what this comes down to, this whole conversation, is do you think that Dino Babers can take this team to a bowl game next year? Because I'm on the camp that no matter how you look at it, like, they did exceed expectations this year. Like, you'll even admit that, right? Like, five wins is exceeding.
They certainly did. They exceeded expectations with the five wins. But once you get in season, expectations change. And the changed expectations, they did not exceed.
Well, the reason the expectations changed, though, is because Dino made the gutsy call to go to Garrett Schrader, partially. And
how much better did things get?
I mean, I think they wouldn't have won five games with Tommy DeVito. I think we can confidently say that. At least I can.
I'm not going to say it with complete confidence because there are some games you need to throw the football. But I think there were certain situations where Garrett Schrader was better suited as quarterback, certain situations where Tommy DeVito was better suited at quarterback. You look at the final stretch of games, and you even saw Garrett Schrader fall into the trap that we saw Tommy DeVito fall into, taking some bad sacks. It was obviously five wins. You told us at the beginning of the season, will you take five wins? Yeah. But the fashion that you got to five wins and kind of the disappointment that you fell at the end, it almost begs the question, like, did the final three games sour all the goodwill that you had in the first nine? And to me, the answer is yes.
Right. So do you think they could make a bowl game next year?
Not with Garrett Schrader at quarterback. Unless he has improved
even with Sterling
abilities.
Gilbert out. I mean, I think that was so much of the issue, is that if you get the right offensive coordinator in there, you've got the defensive team, you've got the young pieces coming back. You keep Sean Tucker. That's the other thing we're going to get into in this conversation here. By firing Dino, you're also probably losing Sean Tucker. He basically said as much. And I get it. Like, it's one player, but he's such an important piece to what you want to do in the future. And I feel like if you fire Dino now, in the market that the coaching market is right now, there's not a lot of great options. There's just so many schools out there looking for a coach that, I'm not saying they shouldn't have fired Dino. They probably should have fired him a long time ago. And I get it. It's showing a lack of a commitment to winning. But you're in for a big rebuild if you fire him right now. And I also think there's a decent chance this team's projected probably to win five or six games next year by him coming back and Sean Tucker coming back.
But do you look at it this way, okay? If he doesn't get this team to a bowl next year, you're just prolonging this. Look at this upcoming recruiting class right now for Syracuse. You've got 10 guys signed, and National Signing Day is right around the corner. The recruiting classes are usually, you're in the 20 to 22 neighborhood at this point. These recruits are looking at this program and saying, that guy's probably not going to be my head coach by the time I graduate or go to the NFL. So there's a lot of cloud surrounding this program right now, and I think the sooner you tear things down, the better it is. Because, I mean, look at someone like Jeff Hafley, okay, at Boston College. Look how quickly he turned around recruiting. at that program. And you can say, oh, Boston College underperformed this year. They had a quarterback injury. But look at the momentum behind the program as a whole right now. When you take the bird's eye view of it, the recruiting is getting better. They're doing better than Syracuse in pretty much every facet. And they're recruiting in the same neighborhoods as Syracuse. That's the problem right now, is if you get the right guy in there, you can fix this thing in 2 to 3 years. But if you don't have that right guy in there, then you just continue to push this thing down the road, and who knows what your coaching market's going to look like then.
Well, we know this year it's not a good coaching market, and we know that they have a chance to make a bowl game next year, and if they fire him now, you're losing Sean Tucker. And I do think that's a big deal. We tweeted out the poll. Would you rather have, if you just only had these two options, Dino fired and Tucker gone, or Dino and Tucker both back? Right now, 68% are in favor of Dino and Tucker both back. It's an intriguing question.
Yeah, very intriguing.
It's one I've thought about a lot. It's tough to, I'm not like fully on one side versus the other, because there's a give and a take there for both. But I do think the offensive coordinator hire is now a huge deal, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. That to me is where it becomes, all right, if you get in the right offensive coordinator that hopefully can develop Schrader a little bit and you make a bowl game next year, you at least are on to something with some momentum with Sean Tucker here. If you fire Dino now, I would say it's 2-3 years before you're sniffing a bowl game, which I get that's the short term look at it, and we have to be looking long term. But to me, why not just wait one more year almost and say bowl game or bust next year? They improved by 4 wins this year. And then you're keeping Sean Tucker, you're keeping what you have. You're in a really tough spot, I think, if you fire Dino now.
But I don't think it puts you in a tough spot. Listen, you're going to take your lumps at some point, right? Whether you fire him next year or you fire him this year, I'd rather expedite the process and get it over with and try to reboot this thing as quickly as possible. Plus, I look at, okay, the Sean Tucker thing, he could be gone next year. There's no guaranteeing that he's staying for his senior season. He's one of the best running backs in the country right now. You don't think he doesn't have the NFL on his mind? He could go to the league. He could go be a fourth round pick in the NFL and go, because that's the going right now for running backs, is you can kind of find them anywhere. And even if you're an undrafted free, I mean, look at this past weekend. The Titans ran out 2 practice squad guys and looked phenomenal on the ground. Like, you don't have to be some stellar back to make it in the NFL. You just got to get your one crack at it and impress. So Sean Tucker may look at it that way. There's no guarantee Sean Tucker is going to be around much more than 1 year. And that to me is the biggest problem with this idea of don't bring back Dino, or bring back Dino because it'll bring back Sean Tucker. I just think that's a foolish exercise, because you should have commitment to coaching and infrastructure at the collegiate level. This isn't the NFL where you've got guys that are going to change your franchise for 10, 12 years. Sean Tucker could be out in 3. And he's having a great Syracuse career. He's going to go down as one of, if not the greatest running back Syracuse has ever had. Like let's not get it cloudy or twisted here. Like, he is going to
probably
go down.
Not.
As
I
one
mean,
of,
they've had a lot of great ones,
but he's going to go down as
saying.
One of the best that they have ever had. And he is certainly someone who's changing the momentum of your program, hopefully. But at the end of the day, you have to have commitment to infrastructure, not players, at the collegiate level, in terms of if you are going to build up a successful program. So if you're not going to get rid of Dino because it comes at the cost of Sean Tucker, I think you're making a big mistake there. Because guess what? Sean Tucker also plays the running back position. Those things are a dime a dozen.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, College Football Fanatics, have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love it. I know you guys will as well. They are the leader in college sports daily fantasy right now, and they offer more college football props than anyone in the world. Be a great weekend coming up with the championship games, ACC, SEC, all those big games with college football playoff implications. They're going to have tons of different prize picks options out there, tons of different props, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. You can find it on prizepicks.com. And all of our new users that deposit and use the promo code Locked On will receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Just be sure to use promo code Locked On. You pick 2 to 5 players on an over-under on their projections. You can win up to 10 times on any entry. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com and use that promo code Locked On, or go to your App Store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. We'll be right back. So Sterling Gilbert's out. That's, like I joked about at the beginning, the good news here.
I felt like Johnny Drama. I was shouting victory after this happened. I mean, this was... I think we were the first ones on this, too. I think we probably said this right around when Schrader took over as the starting quarterback. So what was that, week four, week five of the season? I want to say we were the first ones on. Get Sterling out of town. He's one of the bigger problems here.
Yeah, and I didn't know if Dino was going to necessarily do it. I think what changed here in the last 3 weeks is it was pretty obvious that he had no adjustments to be made. And he went up against better defenses that had had game film on Syracuse. And I don't know. I mean, he had a good game plan and scripting for the first drive against Pittsburgh. And we actually threw in a trick play and some different stuff here or there in that game at the start. But then it was more of the same. And it's amazing how much teams are stacking the box against Syracuse, as they should be. Pittsburgh had their safeties up basically right behind the defensive linemen in certain instances. Yeah. And it felt like they were doing everything they could. So then Sean Tucker's out of the game. You can't even get one of our best running backs in program history.
Did you see the Pitt tweet, by the way? I got to say,
yeah,
this was pretty brilliant. Held one of the nation's best rushers to 29 yards. We are pleased with our performance. Yeah. I thought that was actually some really good, a little smack.
That's kind of funny. Yeah. And just, I mean, people then were talking
about. At least they get the bit.
And it's become more of a thing that as the years progress, like Sean Tucker, his Twitter is not just a local Syracuse thing anymore, which is kind of cool. But yeah, so the thing with Gilbert that really bugged me is when defenses learned the offense and film was out there and the newness and the novelty weared off, it was pretty clear he had no other options here. And now you make the right move, and this is it for Dino. He has to find the right offensive coordinator here. He found the right defensive coordinator with Tony White, which is also good news that was announced that he is coming back. I was pretty worried that he was going to get poached by someone else. I think there was a decent shot of that. He's coming back. Mike Schmidt is coming back. And you got rid of the guy that you really needed to get rid of, which was Sterling Gilbert.
I look at this hire, though. This is almost an unfair / impossible hire to make if you're Dino Babers, because you know that your job status is tied to Dino Babers. And if he's only going to be around 1 year, you have literally, you probably have like 9 games to figure this thing out and get it right if you're the offensive coordinator for this team. Because if you don't do it in the first 9 games, then your job is, you're out the door too, because they're not keeping anyone around. They're just going to clean house. So you're essentially signing a 1-year contract, a 1-year prove-it deal as an offensive coordinator. You're probably looking at some younger guy who's looking to take some significant career leap. I don't think you're going to get the best guy for this job. And that's the thing that worries me.
Well, the name that's been brought up already is the Kent State offensive coordinator, Andrew Sauter. He knows Dino. He played for Dino. Yep. At least he was a wide receiver at Baylor.
Dino was the wide receiver coach. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Eastern Illinois. So he was the wide receiver coach there. I don't know how much experience he has developing quarterbacks, which I think that's the biggest concern for me, at least, is let's get an offensive coordinator that can sort of teach Schrader how to throw a little bit better. And if it's not Schrader, convince a transfer portal guy to come in that's better than Schrader to compete and just beef up the quarterback room as a whole. And one positive from John Wildhack's press conference is he said, we've talked about him and Dino, someone who's worked and developed quarterbacks filling that role, which is good to hear.
Right. So I look at Sauter, and obviously he's got the experience there. Kent State has Kent State, Sean Lewis, guy who really made this offense click, and you talk to a lot of people, and he's kind of the guy that made this thing go. You'd love to have Sean Lewis back on this staff to kind of pioneer this offense and get this thing back on the tracks. But you look at some of these Kent State offensive numbers here. They're unbelievable.
They are good.
Third best rushing attack in the entire country. 8th best total offense. 30th in scoring offense. And guess what? They run the ball less than Syracuse and have the 3rd best rushing offense in the country. I get you're going up against the MAC. You have those funky Tuesday games, but they put up points. They run the ball effectively. It's a little bit of a different sort of identity than what we saw when Sean Lewis was the offensive coordinator here. But to me, that says adaptability, knowing your personnel and playing to their strengths. And you've got a really good rushing attack at Kent State. So what are you going to do? You're going to run the ball, and you're going to have a lot of success with it, but you're also going to be able to sprinkle in a little bit of the passing game as well to exploit those defenses. And to me, listen, if Andrew Stouter's the guy, makes a lot of sense. Sean Lewis, it seems
it
like
makes
is the
so
guy
that, much sense. Yeah.
And Sean I don't Lewis, know how it seems like I he's the guy that made though. This thing go.
Right. I mean, I think he's qualified. It makes sense. I almost would like to see Dino step outside of his comfort zone and don't hire a friend or someone that he's worked with and knows in the past. But that's probably not going to happen here. Given
if he
that
had 3 years, if you could semi quasi guarantee him 3 years or even like 2 years with a chance at the third, I think that he would maybe venture off. But when you've got 1 year to get things right, you got to go with what you know. Right. Like you have to. And listen, this isn't to say Dino's offense has not worked. We've seen it work. It worked the first 3 years he was here. All right. But a lot of that was led by Sean Lewis. And so maybe you get someone who's kind of been Sean Lewis's right-hand man because it worked with him. But when you kind of strayed, even though it was guys that you quote-unquote sort of knew, you kind of strayed from what really worked at Bowling Green and at Syracuse those first couple years. So maybe go back to a guy who kind of knows how the thing works.
Yeah, and that's the argument for Dino, I guess, is you haven't ever matched up the coordinators. So you had... Yeah. Brian Ward when you had Sean Lewis. You had one bad, one good. Now you had Tony White when you had Sterling Gilbert. Maybe you get Tony White and the good offensive coordinator, and all of a sudden you can piece together a season that is going to surprise some people and figure out Garrett Schrader's throwing a little bit more. And if you unlock that to an extent that you hope that he – I mean, he's got to improve somewhat. Now, maybe it's not Garrett Schrader. Maybe someone else comes in or competes for the job and – it's going to be interesting. Like this transfer portal thing is going to be a real thing this year. It's going to be like college basketball last year, I think. And we can get into that because over the course of the week, I think we're going to see more and more names. Right now, Syracuse has had 10 players enter the portal. Joe Rendoni entered today, according to Stephen Bailey, which the defensive line's in a tough spot. And we'll talk about Vincent Reynolds in just a second. But in terms of Gilbert and the offensive coordinator hire, this is incredibly important. You're probably right. I wouldn't be shocked if it's Sauter. That doesn't excite me a ton, but at least there is some Sean Lewis connection there. There's some reason to believe, based on the numbers he's put up at Kent State, that he's a much better option than Sterling Gilbert. And to me, last year was more on Gilbert than Dino, which I guess I hesitate to say that because Dino hired Gilbert, right? And I know people are saying that when they're hearing that, but if we're taking that out of the equation, I think Dino can succeed if he has the right offensive coordinator. He definitely didn't have the right offensive coordinator last year. So maybe if you hire the right guy, there's reason to believe that they improve on last year.
I'm with you. Listen, last season, I blame Gilbert mostly, but you also have to put a little bit of that blame on Dino's plate as well, because he's the one that made the hire. He's the one that's responsible for some of the in-game stuff. He's an offensive-minded head coach. So when the offense struggles to the degree it did down the stretch and you can't throw the football, it falls on Dino as well. I look at it this way too. And I saw this. So the Sauter speculation came from Cuse Confidential. And I think it's a very well-educated one too. But one of the other things that's been floated out and about is that I don't want to see someone come in to be the offensive coordinator slash quarterbacks coach. And to me, I think that's a little off-rooted there. Because you look at some of the best programs in the country, they're tying their offensive coordinator to the quarterback position. And I think that's the right thing to do, because at the end of the day, the most important position on the field is your quarterback. Why would you not want the guy who's the offensive guru, the guy who's crafting the game plan, who's making all the play calls, why would you not want that guy directly in contact with your quarterback every single second of every single practice? To me, I think that's a good thing. You look at the best programs in the country. Alabama does it. Georgia does it. Even you look in the ACCs, the best programs in the country do that. I think you do need to do that. I don't think it's a big deal to get an offensive coordinator who people want an offensive coordinator and then a quarterback coach. I think if you can't coach quarterbacks, you probably shouldn't be the offensive coordinator at the end of the day.
Right, and I guess that's my concern with Sauter is it seems like he's more wide receiver background based, and he's never been. I mean, he was a wide receiver coach for Dino. He played wide receiver, so without doing a ton of research on him, it seems like right now he doesn't exactly fit that mold of what John Wildhack was discussing with Dino and saying, we want that guy that can develop our quarterbacks.
Right, which is a fair, it's a fair counterpoint. Again, at the end of the day, quarterback development is the most important thing. Because if this team could have thrown the ball last year, there's no doubt in my mind they're going to a bowl game. I mean, all yeah. those toss-up 50-50 games are Syracuse wins. All of them. All of, if you can throw the ball with a shred of success, you win, what, 7-8 games last season? Right?
Yeah,
somewhere probably. In that neighborhood.
All right, so we're going to get into the other staff changes in just a little bit, or the other staff firings, I guess I should say. But this is it, the putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software. To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth with visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more. NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. Over 27,000 businesses already use NetSuite, and right now, through the end of the year, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program to those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA. Head to netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA for special end-of-the-year financing on the number one financial system for growing businesses, netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA.
It is here, the best Monday of the year, Cyber Monday, and Built.com is the place to aim your mouse. Get at least 20% off everything delicious and healthy. That's 20% off site-wide, and even bigger discounts on Built Boost, Broth, and Built Swag. A brand new Built Bar flavor has also landed just in time for Cyber Monday. Go check out the Caramel Almond Delight. Haven't tried that one, but certainly sounds like something I may be doing later on today. And delivers everything it promises. Caramelized chocolate, check. Almonds, check. Delightful, double check. Be sure to get yours before they're gone. They only have 150 calories and 17 grams of protein. And this season, maybe you're craving white chocolate. So for a limited time, get a special new Built Bar Puffs flavor, white chocolate cheesecake. The yummy protein-filled treat with marshmallowy center covered in white chocolate. Tim, you and I love the Built Bar Puffs. Nothing yes. better than the Built
so
Bar
good.
Puffs. 140 calories, 17 grams of protein. Tis the season to save and give your taste buds the gift of Built Bar. Get to Built.com for these incredible tasting new bars and 20% off everything. So head over to Built.com, enter the code LOCKED20 before it's too late. Again, Built.com, code LOCKED20.
All right, so the other coaching moves that were announced, Vincent Reynolds is out as the defensive line coach and Reno Faree is out as the tight end coach. Two guys that came with Dino in 2016. A little surprised by the defensive line announcement yeah. of Vincent Reynolds because, one, they have very limited guys coming back at that position. And so they have six returning scholarship defensive linemen right now. That is a huge concern as we look ahead to the offseason, the portal, all that mess. Caleb Okechukwu, Steve Linton, Terry Lockett are really the only guys that you have any sort of confidence in. I guess Darden played a little bit as a walk-on, but you also only have one D-line commit right now. You've had two decent D-line commits decommit in recent sort of weeks or so, and Curtis Harper's out, Joe Rondoni's out, as I mentioned earlier. So the defensive line is right up there, I'd say, with wide receiver and even quarterback, you could argue, in terms of priorities for this offseason moving forward. I guess part of the reason probably why Vincent Reynolds is out the door is because he wasn't a 3-3-5 guy, and now you're probably leaning more into that system as you should be, but I was sort of surprised by that.
It was, both of them were kind of odd. Did you see Trill Williams' father's tweet, by the way?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. This was, and I think it's a great point too, and kind of shows you what kind of the faith in the coaching staff is from the outside world. And there were a number of alums of the program as well that were tweeting down on some of these coaching moves. But his whole premise of the tweet was, this is like, and this is in regard to Reynolds and Reno Faree getting fired, but this is like complaining about the food at a restaurant and firing the cashier who accepted the money. At the end of the day, it's the chef that screwed the whole thing up. And to me, I mean, the defensive line's been pretty good the last couple of years. The
yeah,
numbers
tight
are there to
make
back
sense,
it up.
I think,
but
more
tight
because
ends, it's like, yeah, what are you going to fire the tight end coach for? They weren't given the ball.
Like, I think the argument there, though, is like Luke Benson's still dropping passes. They haven't really developed those tight ends as much as you'd like. And they've actually recruited pretty well at that position compared to other positions. And even like Ravion Pierce, he had some nice things in that season, but it's not like they've really unlocked the tight end, which is partially on the offensive coordinator and Dino, but also Luke Benson was still dropping passes late in the season.
Something that went really under the radar this year, Max Mang's blocking. He was phenomenal all season long with some of the ways that he set up, some running plays, some of his crack block. I mean, Max Mang, that's a guy that I want on my roster. And
yeah, but I think then it goes to like, you just have one-way options there. Luke Benson,
yeah,
he's that's the fine. Like, pass-catching guy. You got to develop his blocking more. Max Mang, all right, if he's going to be a full tight end, then the tight end coach's job is to develop his catching a little bit more.
Yeah, I get that. And again, the way that the tight end position sort of is in the NFL, I think kind of skews what it should be in the college game. You don't necessarily need the two-way guy per se. It's good to have one of each, I think. One guy that can go out, run some routes for you, maybe split him out in the slot a little bit. Another guy that specializes in running situations and blocking and bringing in that extra tight end for pass blocking situations. I think that it's good to have that sort of versatility in your tight end room. You should have a couple of bodies there and guys that can flex out and also play the fullback position for you as well. Kind of like what Max Mang became once Chris Elmore went out.
Right. So yeah, we'll see what happens. In terms of the defensive line, that's definitely a target and a looming question here as we get into the offseason. Also, it's kind of worth noting that Vincent Reynolds is the dad of Eric Coley. I don't necessarily know what Eric Coley's plan is because he has been at Syracuse for what feels like forever, but I think he does have another year if he wanted to come back. He wasn't a super senior by definition, so we'll see if that changes his. I mean, basically, when I look at the transfer portal, I think fans aren't really prepared for how crazy it's about to get. Yeah. We're probably going to see one or two names each day, I would even say, this week, because I did see Syracuse's leading Power 5 competition with the 10 so far, but these other schools are going to catch up. And
right.
It's going to be a lot.
Teams wait for their bowl games to happen and all that stuff. Again, I would say once you get to like New Year's, you'll start to see things become hot and heavy. And maybe even
right,
like
but for Syracuse, it's this week probably because they don't have any bowl game concerns. I get what you're saying right. though, for the larger
But I'm saying
context.
Like more players entering into the talent pool as well. And again, at this point, you're kind of on the offensive with no bowl game. Like you're full on recruiting right now. You also don't have a lot of players coming into your upcoming recruiting class. So you're going to have like, what's the scholarship number for football? 85, I want to say. Like,
yeah, maybe
you're
lower,
probably
I don't
not
know.
Like, I would almost be surprised if they get to 85. With the way that their roster is constructed right now, with the amount of players that left, with the lack of players that are coming in, unless they absolutely crush it in the transfer portal, I'd imagine they're going to find themselves with a tough time getting up to that 85 number next season. Because I'd imagine there's a couple more players that are probably on the way out too from Syracuse.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it'll be certainly interesting. I mean, a couple other coaching things that I do want to bring up too. Everyone else, so they mentioned that Ferry, Reynolds, Gilbert out the door. Coming back, you've got Tony White, Mike Schmidt, Chip West. Everyone else's job right now is up in the air. The fact that Nick Monroe's name is not in the locks of coming back might be more laughable than your in-game management, Dino Babers. Seriously, this guy brought in every single NFL prospect you have on your roster, and his job's
well,
up in the air?
Well, could that be... He hasn't committed to coming back because he thinks he could go somewhere else.
Maybe it
might
is.
Not be Syracuse, say, and that's sort of how I envision.
But you can say he's being retained, and then if he wants to go off and find a new job, like Tony White can go off and find a new job right now. Just because Syracuse is quote unquote retaining him right now doesn't mean that he can't go off and find another job for himself.
Yeah, but they came out and said specifically Tony White will be back, which made me think, oh, great news. Like he's not going anywhere else. So I think.
Listen,
I get what you're saying. You could say it, but I think Mike Schmidt and Tony White and Dino sat down and they discussed, we're definitely coming back no matter
what.
So that's why they pinpointed those names.
But here's the thing is, like, you've got so many coaching jobs opening and the hirings are just starting to happen. Like, you're telling me if Billy Napier called up Tony White right now and said, hey, why don't you come run your 3-3-5 down for me in Gainesville? You think Tony White's staying in Syracuse? Like, there's so many good jobs out there right now and coaches that can be poached right now. I wouldn't say it's set in stone per se that Tony White's coming back. I think that's the plan right now, but everyone's got a plan until you get punched in the face, as Mike Tyson liked to say. So,
right. No, that's a good point. I mean, Zach Garnett was committed to Syracuse or was hired by Syracuse for 5 days, and then things changed quickly in this landscape. I think quarterback transfer is going to be interesting going forward, whether they pursue that, how actively they pursue it. Obviously, Duke and David Cutcliffe have parted ways, and there's two guys right there, that Riley Leonard, Henry Bellin. I'm not saying for next year, but you got to beef up the quarterback room at some point here, whether it's getting a recruit. You only have 3 scholarship guys in the quarterback room. You probably need one more, at least.
Yeah. I mean, you should – I haven't really dove I haven't really dove into the recruiting for 2022. I just know that there's 10 guys. I'd imagine one of them is not a quarterback. That's a problem to me. And I look at everything that's sort of like, there's so many questions because you still have some hires to make. You've got plenty of players to bring in. How about a special teams coordinator? I mean,
That's something too.
That's something too. Like, I'm not going to pretend like I know the special teams coordinator market. I don't. All right. I think very few people do. You probably have to be inside that building and in football circles to understand who that guy might be and what constitutes a good special teams coordinator. All I know is
this. Justin Lustig have a son? I mean, yeah. I'm kidding, but just someone that's tied to him because he worked out great.
Yeah. And I think you look at the special teams coordinator, for those who don't understand how important a special teams coordinator is, I mean, look at some of the best coaches in the NFL. They started out as special teams guys. Bill Belichick, John Harbaugh, both got their start as special teams guys. They're the guys that people don't realize this, but in the NFL, a special teams coordinator is in every single meeting. They meet with the offense, the defense, and the special teams. They're the only people, aside from the head coach, that can say that. And that just shows the importance of it. It's like, why do you think the fill-in coaches, like in the NFL, we saw Cliff Kingsbury and Matt Nagy both miss games because of COVID. Why do you think the special teams coordinators are the ones that take the post? Mike McCarthy is going to miss this upcoming game with COVID. Why do you think the 15-year long snapper is the guy that's going to fill in for his post this week? Like, special teams coordinators matter, and they're a part of the blood of everything. And when you talk about a lack of discipline, if you've got a guy who preaches discipline and is in every single meeting room, you're going to see those penalties go down.
Yep. All right, well, we will cut it there for our first football podcast, at least of the week, and I'm sure there's going to be more news in the transfer portal, offseason, all that stuff. We'll be keeping you guys updated. Tomorrow on the show, we will get you ready for Indiana. Huge game inside the dome, ACC Big Ten Challenge. A lot on the line for this one. Maybe not a must win, but maybe a can't lose. Feels like Syracuse really needs to right the ship after Atlantis. Trace Jackson Davis scored 43 the other day, so we'll break down the matchup and – yeah, it's going to be intriguing. It's going to be another tough test for the Orange as part of this tough non-conference, but we'll give our picks, prop shop, all that stuff, maybe even sneak in some DeBundo's digits for you tomorrow on the show, and we'll have that for you right in your podcast feed early tomorrow morning. So be on the lookout for that. Subscribe if you haven't already. Check us out on YouTube as well, and we'll talk to you guys then.